Welcome to 20s Toolbox here on WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm your host, Grace Mansfield, and tonight I'm talking with Kristen Eichholz, who is the Dean for Career and Civic Engagement at Moravian University's Center for Career Development. Kristen has a Master of Arts in Student Affairs in Higher Education and 18 plus years of professional experience in career services. Today, we'll be talking about how to craft the best resume, networking both online and offline, and her best tips and tricks for presenting yourself well in an interview. Well, Kristen, thank you so much for being here and talking with me today.
Thank you, Grace. I'm excited to be here with you.
Before we dive in, would you be able to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your experience, and what you do?
Sure, absolutely. So as Grace stated, my master's work is in student affairs and higher education, but my story actually started at Marywood University in Scranton, PA, where I got my undergrad in elementary education. And we always say you only know what you know. And I came from a family of two educators. My parents were school teachers for 30 plus years. So I just assumed when I went off to college, that's what I would study. And it was when I was in college that I became very involved in not only the academic arena, but I was also a student athlete. I was involved in things such as orientation and student government, and it really got me to love the atmosphere on a college campus outside of the classroom. And I had a mentor at the time in my senior year after I went through my student teaching who said, "You clearly love teaching, you love coaching, you love mentoring, but I can tell the elementary environment is not what you're finding your best fit." And she said, "Have you ever considered going on for a master's in higher ed?" And at the time, this was the very, very early 2000s, I honestly never heard of it. And through my work with my mentor led me to explore graduate programs in higher ed. Indiana University of Pennsylvania was the one I went to. And I got my GA shift, which helped fund my education in their career center. And it was through that GA shift that my eyes just opened up to really what I love and what I'm doing now here in 2024. After I did my GA ship and I graduated, I began my professional journey as a young 20-year-old at Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, Virginia. I grew up in Staten Island, New York. I was very far from home. And I took that leap as a young 20-year-old and said, "You know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow my heart. I'm going to go someplace different. And I'm just going to see how it goes." And it clearly went extremely well because I am still in this field, loving what I do every day. And my mission is to not only help college students find what they love, but is also to help my team of professionals grow and continue to love the work that they're doing. So after I spent 5 years at Virginia Tech, I came back closer to home. And that was the Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, where I got my, I'd say prior to this role, 13 years of experience being the executive director of career development at DeSales University. It was then in the summer of 2023 when I was really thinking about, you know, what is it that I need to feel fulfilled, to feel like I'm also growing as a professional. I'm helping everyone else. But you get to that point where you take a step back and say, okay, am I doing the best for myself as well as my students? And an opportunity arose at Moravian to come on board, where I now am in my second year serving as the Dean for Career and Civic Engagement. And it has been an absolute blessing to work with a very robust career team, but also overseeing the functional area of civic engagement, or as other institutions or schools might know it, as community engagement. So I'm very fulfilled in the work that I do. I think listening to my story of starting off as an elementary major, graduating with an elementary ed degree, and then where I am today just shows how nonlinear the world of work is, and that we're not to be defined by an academic major. Really, we should be filling up our plates and our cup with the experiences that we have, the people that we meet. And I can do a whole separate podcast on how that's unfolded for me. But I think it's important that we talk about this topic today and how we continue to find out what's the right fit for us just as much as organizations.
Yeah, I love that so much. I've always been a huge proponent of, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. So congratulations on a great career thus far. Let's talk about how we get set up for success. Everyone should have a resume, but as you may know, there's so much advice out there on what that really looks like for people. So, would you be able to talk about your strategy of crafting a good resume? What are your kind of do's and don'ts when doing that?
I think it first starts off with knowing yourself. And I think it's very hard to sit down and craft a document about yourself if you don't honestly reflect on everything that makes you you. And I'm such a big advocate of brainstorming, even when it comes to a resume. What are the things that you've been involved with, even when you were in high school, to see are there patterns, are there themes, are there things that you're doing or not doing right now that really make you a well-rounded individual and ultimate candidate, whether it be for employment after school or if it's to go on for graduate or professional school. So knowing yourself first. Sometimes you can learn that through doing some type of interest assessment or skill assessment. Very important is a values tool. You know, what do you value in a work environment? Once you have that good understanding of yourself, knowing your audience, who's reading your resume? So as you're looking at applying to graduate programs or applying for internships or for full-time employment, studying and knowing job descriptions and knowing what it is that that reader is looking for. Because we can sit and write a wonderful resume that we feel confident it's all about, you know, myself, and I know it speaks to who I am. But if it's not speaking to the language of the person who's reading it, it could be a missed target. And even more so now in our world today and with technology, and I'm sure a lot of folks are familiar with becoming familiar with artificial intelligence. And there's talk about how AI is being used in a job search process, not only from the candidate standpoint of utilizing some technology to build resumes or build interview questions, prepare for interview questions, but how are the recruiters using it? And a lot of recruiters are using software that allows for them to keyword search by their candidates. When you think of large organizations, you know, they can't sit down and print off and pull up every resume that comes into their system. So what we're trying to do now is to help individuals understand the art of a job description and how do you translate that into the vocabulary you're using on your actual resume. So if you're using vocabulary that's not being the keyword searched by, it may never even retrieve your resume to be viewed. So yes, knowing yourself, but then knowing what the employer is looking for and who's reading it is really going to help make for that smooth connection. So utilizing different software pieces out there. There's actually a resource that is free. It's called jobscan.co. It allows a user one free job scan a day where you can upload a job description and then upload your resume, and it will then show you how much of a match you are for that job description based upon the words you're using in your own document. So there's other resources out there that allow for you to do that. So I think that's important. I think what's also important is less is more. And I think sometimes people are wanting to share so much about themselves. That's where I say that's what the interview comes in. Your resume is just the first step to getting that interview. Your resume doesn't get you the job. It gets you to that next step to then get the job. So your resume is not a history piece. It really is a marketing piece. We want to treat it as such, especially for those that are in their undergraduate years or maybe not as experienced. 1 to 2 pages max is plenty. And making sure that you're not getting too creative with your formatting. I know that if you were to Google search resume templates right now, it's going to give you so many different versions and some that are super creative as well. Unless you're going into the creative arts, some type of digital design or marketing or architecture, you don't need a crafty or creative resume. You need a resume that's going to get to the point of what is it that you have to offer that's going to make a interviewer say yes. We want to bring that person on board to work for our organization. So be careful in terms of how you go about starting that document. If you currently are a college student, tap into your career center. I guarantee they're going to have some version of a sample resume or guidebook, or talk to a faculty member, a professor, or talk to an employer that's doing the job that you see yourself doing one day and saying, can you talk to me a little bit about the formatting of a resume and what it is that you're looking for. So that way you're not doing double work by starting with something that you eventually you're going to have to change again and revamp again. It should just be a document that you're tweaking as the years go by with maybe changing a an experience because maybe it doesn't fit as much to the job that you're applying to at that time. So for me, those are some of the key things and themes that I see in working with job seekers today, that help with giving more of that competitive edge and being seen by a recruiter.
Yeah, thank you so much. Those are all wonderful tips. Let's talk about another foundation for landing a job, which is networking, which you kind of touched upon talking about the Career Development Center at universities. In this day and age, networking online is extremely popular, whether that's through a site like LinkedIn. I know some colleges use a platform called Handshake, whatever it may be. What are some strategies a young person can use to build a strong professional network, both online and offline?
Absolutely. And I think sometimes the word itself connotates this level of fear. We hear the word networking and the hands get clammy and we start to shut down and don't know, what do I say? What do I do? If you rethink about it as just a way to meaningfully mingle with someone and have a simple conversation, it can change the tone and the dynamic. And ultimately, that's what networking is. It's a way to have a conversation with someone where you can share a little bit more about yourself and they can share a little bit more about them and their industry and their field. And what I try to express to individuals is that if you find someone that loves what they do, they're going to want to talk to you about that. And they're going to want to entice you to become a part of their organization or their field. I think when we look at online networking, like something like a LinkedIn, it's only as good as the person managing the page. And I think at times people think with LinkedIn, well, I created a profile, I'm good. But if you don't maintain that profile, if you don't check off all the items on there that make it searchable, like having a good photo, like having a header, not only listing where you've worked, but some bullets or descriptions as to what you did while you worked there. It really is even more a live version of your resume because you can update it so frequently and so easily. There's that option in LinkedIn for you to have people write you recommendations. So people can leave some positive highlights about you that when a recruiter or employer goes to maybe look at your LinkedIn page because you've included that URL on your resume, they can see what others are saying about you even before doing that reference check. So LinkedIn can be powerful for the sense of using it for job searching and marketing yourself, but also it's a great tool for information gathering. There's a lot of opportunities to hop on free webinars, local free networking events, where you can check them out ahead of time by your LinkedIn connection. So I encourage those that are one, maybe fearful of starting LinkedIn, or two, have started it, maybe haven't done too much yet. Once again, lean into your networks on your college campuses or employers in the field, or even trusted family friends that have gone through experience with using it. Help them help you build it. Look at other people's LinkedIn pages that you want to or you aspire to be like, and use that as a model. Putting that on pause for a second, looking at the people that are in your network in real life, sometimes it's just looking very intimately at your own circle. Who are your parents? Your parents' friends, your friends' parents. And if we start to look at networking from it's the people that you already know in your life and the connections they have, it once again can take away some of those fears of, oh my gosh, I'm too afraid to talk to, the CEO of this company or make a cold call or send a LinkedIn contact to someone I don't know. Start with the people you know first. Draw a web and write your name in this in the centerpiece of a paper and start writing branches out, mom, dad, grandparent, supervisor at work, and then from there branch out. You'll be amazed at how quickly the people that are in your network that you don't even have to start making cold calls or reach out to people you don't know. And once you start to find out who those people are, then yes, maybe it is an email. Maybe it is a phone call or asking that person that your first degree of separation to introduce you and make it a more smoother, easier transition. And then come up with some questions that you want to ask. It's so nice when you're in control of the situation and you're the one doing the interviewing or the questioning. Then it puts that mindset of when it comes time for you to be in an interview and someone's asking you the questions, You've already gone through a little bit of this experience. So there's something called informational interviewing, and it's just simply having a dialogue with someone about what do they do? How did they get there? What was your story? And using that as a piece to further your understanding. And then I always say at the end of any networking opportunity, is there someone else that you're willing to connect me with in your network? And that just keeps it going and growing. You can go on to LinkedIn then and make those connections. So I think it's about the effort you put forth. It's the mindset you have going into it that it doesn't have to be intimidating, especially if you find the right people that will help you and mentor you to those right people.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Well, first, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm sure someone that is listening has pulled so many tips and tricks from what you've shared today. So, as we wrap up today, reflecting on your own career path, what was the best advice you've ever received?
The best advice, I have two pieces, and I've thought about this. One is that remember that setbacks are a part of the process, and each step, even the frustrating ones, bring you closer to where you want to be. It teaches you and has taught me to build resilience. And if one door closes, another door does open. And that may sound cliche, but I've lived it, I've seen students live it. It's important to not settle for anything less than what you want or you deserve. Don't just take an opportunity because it's there. It has to be the right opportunity. And the second piece of advice, my very, very first supervisor ever, when I started my career in 2005 at Virginia Tech, was one of our first meetings together. She said to me, Kristen, never get too comfortable. Always find ways to grow and evolve. When we get too comfortable, we stop challenging ourselves. We stop exploring. We stop looking for what's the next thing for me and for the people in my life. So those are two things that I wish to share with others when I think and reflect on advice that I got, that I live by, and I continue to share not only with my students that I work with, but my colleagues and then even friends in my life as well.
That's so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. We need to take a short break. Stay tuned for our next conversation coming up next. You're listening to 20s Toolbox on WDIY.
WDIY News engages the Lehigh Valley with accurate, unbiased reporting from many sources and volunteer real voices. Listen to WDIY News during Morning Edition, Fresh Air, All Things Considered, and Weekend Edition every day here on 88.1 FM, streaming on WDIY.org and the WDIY phone app. WDIY, many choices, real voices.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to 20s Toolbox. My next guest tonight is Lindsay Watson, an award-winning entrepreneur and a seasoned professional in human resources, business development, and public speaking. She brings over 19 years of expertise in staffing, recruiting, relationship management, and career coaching. We'll be talking about job recruitment, her journey, and what employers are looking for in an ideal candidate. Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for being here and talking with me today. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to be here, and congratulations on your new show.
Thank you so much. I'm super excited about it, super excited to have everybody listen to it. So before we dive in, would you be able to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your experience, and what you do?
Absolutely. So my name is Lindsay Watson. I am the president and co-founder of FIA Now Employment Solutions. I own this business with my business partner, Mr. Bill Brown. He is the CEO and co-founder of FIA Now. We are an A to Z employment solutions company. Simply put, we work with clients and job seekers from the beginning all the way to the end of the employment process. So that's everything from career coaching to offering staffing and recruiting strategy, working with hiring managers to help them be prepared to interview a more diverse population, and working with career seekers to make sure they're prepared to represent themselves the best possible during their interviews. We also work with companies to help them with all types of staffing, and we work with companies to help them in the event that they have a reduction in workforce, which no one wants, but it happens. It's part of the cycle. So we also offer services there. What I will say is we've been here for almost 12 years, headquartered in the Lehigh Valley.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, we're so proud to be a part of this community. We started off in the New York City area and relocated our headquarters way back in 2013. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it's been that long already. And so we love what we do. We love our community. And even though we offer these services, we are also just as involved in our community. And that is a super huge part of our culture, is to make sure we give back.
Could you talk about what a typical day looks like for you? And what do you think are some common misconceptions about your profession? Because it's really interesting what you do.
Absolutely. So, first of all, before I forget, Grace, so you and I both will soon have communications degrees, right? So
Yes,
that's my
yes.
degree in communication arts. So I started off getting a degree and had no idea what to do. So I ended up landing a job at Geico in customer service. And I was there for 2 years. And you know what? It was an amazing job because I got a good training and foundation as to how to provide good, consistent customer service, which is something anyone in any profession absolutely needs. And so after that, I started to yearn for more. And at the time, started working with my business partner, who is a mentor to me and has been for over 20 years. And just started really saying, what do I want? What do I actually want to do? What makes me happy? And so what I had to start to do is realize, what are the things that I love? What do I enjoy? Well, I enjoy solving problems. I enjoy putting all the puzzle pieces together and realized that a career in HR was probably going to be a good fit. But as you know, there's so many different aspects of HR. And so I chose recruiting. I said, you know what? Let me start here and see. I'd love to be able to help people find jobs. And so from there, I interviewed a lot. It was a lot of hard work, but I went from Geico to Goldman Sachs, which is an international investment bank. And that introduced me to my years-long career on Wall Street. And so I started off as an executive assistant, still didn't find that recruiting job, but it was another step up towards my goal. And then finally landed a job as a recruiting coordinator. And my career has just grown from there to now being co-owner of a recruiting agency.
That's incredible. Congratulations on an amazing career so far.
Thank you.
That's a perfect segue into my next question. Speaking of recruiting, let's talk more about the purpose of what you do. So I know a lot of people I've spoken to said that college students have a lot of trouble trying to find jobs while in school and also in post-grad. So would you be able to speak a little bit about how you've seen hiring trends fluctuate and what does that look like?
Absolutely. Just like a real estate market where there's a buyer's and a seller's market, there is an employee's and an employer's market. And it's important to know where you're at. When the pandemic hit, it quickly it was clear that we were in unprecedented times. You know, a lot of employers had to reduce workforce, and so for a time, it was really an employer's market. But then things began to change. You probably heard of the Great Resignation and people who decided that they were worth and more valuable than what they'd been settling for in jobs, which helped create a push to it becoming an employees market, which meant that employers, once they were ready to start hiring again, had to increase their salaries, their perks, their benefits, and allow people to work remote or hybrid. So for a while, employees were able to ask for whatever salary they wanted and really push. Then it changed again. Employers realized that they overhired and they've started to lay people off. You see a lot of that in the tech space, in different industries, manufacturing space as well. And that's just the result of extra hiring when there were high demands. And then the demand started to shift when things started to settle again and people had to get let go. And so what we've been seeing is it going back to that employer's market where it's been hard for employees to find jobs. This is a blanket statement, right? Some industries are thriving. So what I would suggest for anyone who's looking for work in school or just post, start thinking about building relationships now. We like to work in the power of threes here at FIA. So whenever we work with someone for our career coaching division, including college students, we work with a lot of college students, we always say pick three top careers or jobs that you would want to target. And then from there, start to build relationships. So connect with people on LinkedIn. If your career center has access to introductions to people working in that field, have coffee with them, have lunch, treat them to a Panera or a Starbucks, and just say, hey, this is what I'm looking to get into. This is what I'm interested in. And the reason why I bring that up is building relationships can often help you to get access to job opportunities. And so you never just want to rely on applying alone, right? But taking some time to think about three target areas you have and then finding maybe two to three connections or contacts within those fields will help to diversify your opportunities as a career seeker. And that's something that you can do consistently. So when it's time for you to find work or when you really need to find something, you'll have a few more options to choose from.
Yeah, that's such a great tip. Thank you for sharing. What are kind of the most important qualities you look for in candidates? And you spoke a little bit about the job market. So can you share any tips for our listeners about how young adults can stand out in this kind of fluctuating job market?
I will. I'm going to break it down. So if you are in school and college, let's just talk about college students. If you have a technical degree that you're pursuing, so anything in science, technology, engineering, or math, employers are going to be looking for internships and a solid GPA. You don't need to be a 4.0. It's nice, but let's look at the whole picture, right? A solid GPA, so 3.0, 3.25 plus internships, fellowships, anything that you can do to have some form of work experience on your resume for technical degrees is going to be super important. In addition to that, if you're able to either have your school or if you have the funding to go to conferences and events and really network and position yourself as, yes, I'm a college student, but hey, I created a business card. I want to develop a relationship with you. In 2 years, you may need to hire me. So why don't we get to know each other now? Think about developing those connections. Four, college students that do not have technical degrees, you're really going to want to focus on making sure that you've got good connections within your system, that you have two to three different career paths that you want to take, and that you're able to hone in on how can I provide value to these organizations that I'm applying to. If you were an engineering candidate, for example, right? Let's just say engineering. Well, the value you provide is your degree and your internships and proving what you've done. But if you're a communications major or a marketing major, you've got to be able to tell that story and paint that picture. I'm a hard worker. I'm really good at AI, right? I'm really strong at certain technologies. I'm great with setting up systems. So really being able to tell that story and paint that picture as a value proposition to any employer is what you're going to want to hone in on.
Yeah, exactly. I always like to say that communication is all about effective storytelling, right? You are telling a story through your words, whether it's through, I'm really into podcasts, obviously. So through my podcast, my words, my writing, all of that stuff, it's all about telling an effective story.
Absolutely.
On the flip side of all those tips you just shared, what are some mistakes you might see young adults making during the recruitment process? And what tips would you share to kind of help them rectify that?
Yeah, so it's the fear. It's the limits to any young adult that we work with, the limits to what they think they can do. And what happens is when those fears have say, it causes lack of follow-up, right? It causes lack of going for it. It causes lack. So what we typically see systemically is we may not hear from one of the young adults we're working for after the first session. We may not get what we've asked for. And it's not because folks are lazy. That's rarely ever the case, right? It's usually because, well, I don't know if I'm worthy. Well, I have anxiety because I'm not sure if I'm giving the right answers or, you know, whatever those limiting beliefs can be. And as a result, you miss out on opportunities. So what we always like to share with anyone we're working with, but especially our young adults, let's walk through some of those fears you have. Let's give space to talk about those things so we can find solutions for you to combat those thoughts so it doesn't get in the way of you participating in the entire process. That's really what we need. We want you to follow up no matter how you feel. We want you to reach back up in case we don't reach out. Maybe we're busy. Right? Maybe something happened. We want you to feel confident enough and to know that you are worthy to be considered throughout the entire process of interviewing and that you shouldn't give up. And it really starts, I think, with identifying and acknowledging those fears and then finding ways to combat them so that we don't, you know, have any of our young students missing out on opportunities.
I love that word that you use, worthy. I think that's such a good word to, for especially for all people, but especially for young adults who, I don't know, may feel like they don't hold any value, or especially in a struggling job market. So I think that's really inspiring and so relatable to so many people. So finally, as we wrap up today, reflecting on your own career path, what would you say is the best advice you have ever received?
Don't spend all your money.
I
Right?
love
Don't
that.
spend it all. Now, I am a certified auntie. I've had some skin in the game, and your guys' generation, you do amazing with managing your finances and understanding the power of building wealth. And so you've got a lot of resources, but don't spend it all, because even if you have a great career, you may want to end up starting a business, and that business is going to need capital, right?
Right.
Even if you don't want to start a business, but maybe you want to travel or a big life shift comes up, really think about living off of less than what you make and putting that to practice now in college. Put it to practice. So that could be, not going out to eat as much or packing a lunch or whatever, or getting a part-time job or keeping the job that you have, even though you're not happy, as long as it's not toxic, hanging on to that for a while until you can genuinely find something that's going to give you substantially more value. And the reason why I bring that up is there are a lot of people right now out of work. And they wish they had that job they had before. Things can change in an instant. So being financially prepared for those changes is probably the number one piece of advice that I would share.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Lindsay. I really appreciate your time and insight, and I know my audience will as well. So thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
I hope you all enjoyed tonight's episode. If you would like to listen to this program again, please go to our website, WDIY.org, the WDIY app where 20's Toolbox is archived, or your favorite podcast or smart speaker platform. I'm your host, Grace Mansfield. Have a great evening, everyone.